traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
That surface is hard. It is not bouncy. It is not a trampoline. There is no give. It is plywood. It's wood. And so everyone, you know, wrestling's fake. Shut the up. That shit hurts. Yeah. I am sore. The left side of my body kills me right now.
Hey, you know what's even greater? Her cousin Snoop Dogg.
Your cousin Snoop Dogg.
You're joking.
I'm not.
So you're just like royalty. Your bloodline's just killing it.
My bloodline, it's pretty strong.
Just doing all the things that I shouldn't. I was failing PE. How does anybody fail PE? And
did you not show up? Like,
I showed up. That's the problem. I showed up.
You know what's great?
What?
We can talk about anything. We can talk about anything.
Yeah.
So what are we gonna talk about?
Is this on the same show?
Yeah, yes. Yeah. So we're opening up the episode with what is so funny.
Talk about 5% of what happened yesterday.
George, you know what?
What do you mean?
Well, I don't know what we can or cannot
everything.
Say.
We're going to talk about everything.
No way.
Yes, this is the opening of the show. Welcome back to Impulsive.
Like GP?
Hold on 1 second while you talk about that. Welcome back to Impulsive, the number one podcast in the world. Thank you guys for listening, watching, viewing, and subscribing. If you're not subscribed, hit that button. Crazy weekend here in Dallas, Texas. WrestleMania was last night. We set a Guinness World Record right after WrestleMania. I got my first win. I got my first combat sports win ever. I can't believe it.
Let's go, bro.
That is so cool.
It feels so good to watch you win, bro.
Really?
Yeah, I never thought I'd see it, man. I'm not gonna lie.
Me either.
Dude, you threw a right hand in there, and I was like, what the fuck?
He's throwing his right. Yeah, it was crazy. And then, again, so we won WrestleMania. The Miz turned on me. We'll get into it. Then I went right back to my locker room, and we set a Guinness World Record for the most expensive Pokemon card sold at a private sale. The one-of-one PSA 10 Pikachu Illustrator that I bought in Dubai. You were there. $5 million. I hate
absolutely
even saying it. $5,275,000. Yeah.
And the story embedded into that trip is potentially the wildest story that will ever be told in the history of mankind, and not even sure how it gets told. We're working on it.
We have to edit the YouTube video just because we do so many countries, and then walking out to it at WrestleMania and that costume, like, oh my gosh, our designers did such, the WWE designers, Nima, my stylist, did such a good job with that costume. I loved that yellow, the bumblebee look. Like, can I say that I thought I looked good? I thought I looked fucking
brother,
good.
Brother, everybody said you looked
yeah,
great.
Yeah, you looked
brother,
great.
You
there was nobody that
it
said no.
Yes. Then, you know, after I have the, you know, last night was a big night, I have these big moments. It's like, what now? And so I'm asking myself, what now? But back to business building. It's what I do. I like to hop from big thing to building business to kind of internalizing my energy and shit. And so if you saw on my socials today, we just launched my next company. I'm a co-founder of this platform called Liquid Marketplace. It is a collectible co-ownership blockchain exchange. So let me break this down. Basically, we make it possible for anyone to own anything. You don't have to have $5.3 million to own a piece of the world's top-tier high-end collectibles. Obviously, you guys know I'm a massive collector. NFTs, Pokemon cards, dinosaur fossils. I got this fucking giant dinosaur leg, and I hope to expand my collection. But these things are expensive, and not everyone can own it. But everyone should be able to own it. And this exists, by the way, fractionalizing assets so people can buy what is equivalent to like a
co-ownership.
Share.
Exactly.
Co-ownership. It's co-ownership. And it exists, but I don't believe it has yet to exist properly and functionally on the blockchain.
For
this,
sure.
This is where we make it super easy, right? Yeah. Like you have your ETH. you have your your Bitcoin, your USD, whatever you have, USDT. And now you can just buy a token on Liquid Marketplace to own high value, top tier assets that you cannot get anywhere else, right? Like, these are the best assets in the world. And we have, we just launched with a Pikachu Illustrator, PSA 8, a Michael Jordan card, Kobe card, one of my first edition Pokemon boxes that hopefully we break. And
the co-ownership part is what's exciting about it. That you guys, if you owned a piece, right, you could decide, hey, we want to all put it up for auction.
Yeah, how does that work?
There's a vote that decides, like, hey, put this up for auction, and then it could sell.
Yep.
Right. Or an offer comes in to the platform for, because he wore that out to WrestleMania and because he set a Guinness Book of World Records, whoever buys that next, that card next, automatically is a Guinness Book of World Record holder because he set the bar.
Right.
Right. So you can technically be like, all right, well, that was bought for 5-3. Maybe they sell it for, you know, offer comes in for 7. Everybody gets to
it's,
vote.
It's a collective decision. Do we want to sell?
We're co-owners.
Yep. It's co-ownership of a genuine, physical, real life asset. So we, Liquid Marketplace, take the asset and put it in a vault. It is safely stored. The owner no longer has full control of it. And that's the other thing. The owner of the asset, this is cool for the people wanting to list these high-end assets, can keep a percentage of the asset. Say I want to keep 10% of the thing I have. And what's cooler, and why I don't know why you'd list anywhere else, is in perpetuity, or for as long as the asset is still listed on our site, or the collectible is still listed on our site, for every trade, you get a royalty percentage of that trade, which is sick, because you can make money. this is I'm actually gonna keep
royalty
this
percent.
Okay. There's certain things I can and can't say, guys. This is like a little bit of like of a legal, and I'm not good at
no,
being
it's true.
Legal.
It's look, we're
no, you're doing good.
The platform is doing something that's progressive and pushing the boundaries of, you know, what's happening.
Right.
This hasn't been done effectively on the blockchain, so There's new regulations coming out all the time.
Yeah, yeah. So I just got to be careful with what I say. Yeah. So I'm working on it. I got to get PR trained. But we made an ad for it. And I want to roll it right now just because, you know, this is our program. And this episode is brought to you by Liquid Marketplace, my new platform. Let's go.
What's up, y'all? Logan here. As an avid collector and strategic investor myself, I am so stoked to announce the launch of Liquid Marketplace, a platform where collectors can buy and sell fractions of rare collectibles via tokens on the blockchain. As a co-founder of Liquid Marketplace, I believe we're set to level the playing field by allowing anyone to own a piece of the world's rarest collectibles and build their portfolios instantly. Here's how it works. Liquid Marketplace will curate a collection of highly sought-after items available in our ecosystem where users can buy in to be a partial owner. We'll keep the collectibles safe in our Liquid Marketplace vault, and when you're ready, you can buy, sell, and trade your portion of ownership with other members. To start, we're launching with some amazing items. First up, and my personal favorite, a PSA 8 Pikachu Illustrator. This is by far one of the rarest Pokemon cards in the world. And one of my personal first edition Pokemon boxes. Don't worry, this one is real. I think. I'm just kidding. Yes, it's real. Now let's talk about sports. LeBron, Kobe, and Michael Jordan. LeBron exquisite RPA, his most sought after rookie card, valued at over $2 million. And a 2009 Upper Deck exquisite Michael Jordan auto patch. This is a one of one, seven figure card. Most collectors have never even seen this card, let alone have access to it. But on Liquid Marketplace, we got that shit. A one of two Kobe auto logo, man. It's, look, this thing is awesome. What are you doing? Go sign up, dude. And also, Dwayne Wade, PSA 10, Pop 3. Giannis, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, KD. Another LeBron, we have it all. So look, go sign up today, build your dream collection, and own a piece of the rarest collectibles in the world on Liquid Marketplace.
Like, I hate to,
like an action figure.
I hate to, like, I just want to get this out right now. Like, I don't think, yesterday was probably one of the proudest days to be your friend, like, honestly, just watching how professional, how serious you take this, and how amazing you were at doing that, and how natural it came to you. I think everybody, you know, I've been telling you kind of all weekend, like, dude, you're just built for this shit, dude. You're built for this. Mm. Like, honestly, like, we just sit there in awe and amazement of both you and your brother, and it's like, what the fuck are these kids gonna do next?
It's
mind blowing. I've been telling your parents all weekend. I'm like, how did you guys?
Was that before or after you almost assaulted my dad?
Okay, yeah.
I have all of my money on GP. Like, yeah. I would liquidate all of my assets.
He told me.
And put all my money on GP. Not because you're not a fighter, or I've never seen you fight.
Yep.
But last night when this shit was about to go down, bro, like, as much as I like to rep, like, the Christian anthem, like, no fights, turn the other cheek, I was like, bro, let's get this fucking going. What made me happy was this, dude. When it first started up, I'm going to let you tell the story out of respect, but it was in this fucking valet that it started coming up, and I was like, oh my God, I think they're about to fight, but nothing came out of it, right?
Are you talking about the first or the second?
The first time.
Got it.
The first time, I'm going to let you tell all the story, but the second time, the roundabout, it's at nighttime, 8 hours later, same spot. I go, all right, I need this one. I need this to happen.
It just would never, that fight would never happen.
You kick your ass,
no,
bro.
It's not.
It would happen.
You do make good jokes, George. But like, listen. You're not. I would never. Even though he's told me a million times since I've met this dude, like, please assault my father. It needs to happen.
Hold on a second.
Okay. All right. Let's.
I didn't say it like that. I just said, someday he's gonna get checked, and someone has to check him. I'm sorry.
What's your first move, Mike? What's your first move?
The first move is always the same. What are you talking? No, people are throwing kicks.
No,
wrestling
hold on.
Moves.
No one's actually, especially not my best friend. No one's attacking Greg.
That's what I'm saying. No,
that's the thing. Greg happens to put his hands on Mike.
It's the same situation.
That's likely.
Bro,
that's likely.
Bro.
So then, what are you doing? You don't.
You eat. Same fight as ever, as any fight I've ever been in. One shot to the face, get the blood going, animal style. Ballistic missiles launching.
But GP's the same way. Because GP will poke out your eyes,
he knows
that's his 1, 2, 3.
Every single dollar that I have
he knows
on GP.
He knows.
All of it. And not because you're not a fighter, but dude, GP is like a, listen.
We already said all this. So he's seen me. Yeah. Bricks, anything that's around. I'm not a clean I am a filthy fighter. Chairs, I don't give a fuck, dog. When I taste that blood, dude, it's on, bro. It's on.
Damn, I didn't know you were dirty like that.
No, I'm just sick. I lose track. I'm gonna be completely honest. When I black out, he's seen me. I almost did it to him one time. We got in a horrible fight.
He threw an 80-pound chair at me.
Launched it at the wall. Like, I black out. I black out completely.
Who's this? I didn't know this story.
In Miami. But all right, listen, here's the deal.
So could you tell this story?
Okay, I'll just...
In great detail, please.
Well, all right.
We only have so much time.
Yeah, that's what we don't have all that much time. GP, who I love and respect very much, had been getting it going quite early yesterday. I think he was putting him back probably around 2, 3 p.m. Like, he was getting it, you know, getting a good little day.
He had the little airplane shot.
Yeah. He was, like, getting a good day going. So we were the late group to WrestleMania. We were going at like 5:30. Everybody else had already gone. So the group was me, David the German, George, our attorney, Brian Shaw.
Chef E,
and the Ultimate Warrior, Greg Paul. So I walk out to the front. He's already out there. And as soon as I see him, I'm like, this motherfucker is going to be a problem. So we start loading into the Uber. Everybody's loading.
Sound like the Cookie Monster.
We'll de-mic you. I swear to fucking God.
I was going to say, you should start wearing headphones, bro.
Listen, everybody starts piling into the Uber and into the SUV. There's two people that are yet to get in. I'm still outside of it. And all of a sudden, you see the driver start to creep forward. He didn't put the car in park. He forgot to, and the door was open, and there were people in it. So I get fired up immediately, too. I'm like, okay, we got to talk to this guy. But obviously, there's no time for me to do anything because GP has activated. The nuclear warhead, the nuclear suitcase has been opened. The red button has been pushed. I look at him. He goes, you stupid pea brain motherfucker. I'll rip your fucking head off and I'll shit down your throat, you fucking piece of shit. I look around me. I go, it's this little Pakistani guy in a suit, in a fucking suit. He goes, stop. He goes, you're right. I'm sorry. He goes, you're right. I'm really sorry. You motherfucker, I'll fucking kill you. You motherfucker. I'm shell-shocked. By the way, we're in front of the hotel with dozens of little kids, fans, police officers, everything. Oh my God. So I go,
yo, GP, chill the fuck out, bro. He goes, and you shut the fuck up, too. Shut your fucking mouth. Don't fucking talk to me. So I go, okay, this is how we're working today. I go, David, George, out of the fucking car. Brian Shaw,
bro, he put me in a fucking situation.
I go, get out of the fucking car. GP, go to WrestleMania by yourself. He's got his drinking, sloshing around in the cup. He goes, all right. I'm sorry. Mike, come on, get in the car. We can talk this out. So I get in the car. He's grabbing my, yeah, you've been lifting a lot lately, huh, kid? Your arms are good. I'm like, Jesus. So then him and Shaw get into it on the ride. The lawyer.
God dang it. Did you come to my WrestleMania match last night? No? Well, you should have.
What's wrong with you?
You should have gotten tickets on SeatGeek. Today's episode is brought to you by SeatGeek, and it's a special one because we are at WrestleMania, and SeatGeek is the official ticketer of AT&T Stadium and Cowboys, so they're ticketing this whole thing this weekend. SeatGeek is the absolute best place to buy tickets. Got the app on our phone right here. Coachella's coming up. Can't wait for that. Tickets right here on SeatGeek.
Literally.
They rate every ticket from 0 to 10 to make sure you're getting a good deal. Green means good. Red means bad. And we got a hookup for you guys. Use the code LOGAN for $20 off tickets at SeatGeek. That is $20 off your first purchase with the promo code LOGAN. Click the link in the description to download the app. Back to
traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The show.
One tiny little thing. Yeah. Mike is like, mind you, I love both of these guys, so I'm not picking a side, but Mike, he goes, George out. Now, I felt immediately like my parents just got divorced, and I'm in the back seat, and GP turns around with his chick and goes, what are you going to do? Now, mind you, I'm not even in a regular seat. I'm in the back bitch seat with my knees up like this. And I go, I don't know, what do I do? But this is the worst part. The back seat's window's tinted. So Mike's just seeing me go, what do I do? And GP goes, so what are you going to do? Are you going to go with him or are you going to stay with me?
So we end up going to WrestleMania. We go in. We see the show of our life, and Logan amazes everyone. We have this great show, which he'll get into. We end up leaving. We go out to a dinner back here at the hotel, a nice dinner. More of the sloshing in the drink, kind of same vibe continues. So here's the thing about GP. His intentions are very good. He loves his children very much, and he has this animalistic tendency to want to micromanage everything. Now, we have very high-priced, very capable security. Like, the best, right? Amazing. So as we're walking out of the restaurant, last night, maybe around 11:30 p.m., so GP's now 8 hours into his day of sloshies, and we're walking, and there's these fans, right? And I see GP go up to Scott, and he goes, you listen, don't you let that fucking shit happen again. They don't get fucking close to my son. And I'm looking back and I'm like, dude, this motherfucker's been through war with Logan, has created a perfect environment, curated the best security detail I've seen in Logan's entire history, right? Yeah. Doesn't need any fucking help. So he don't get right up to him, they'll fucking shank him. I'm like, GP, we're not in Pelican Bay, dog. So we get out front and... There was this one guy that was with his kid, and Logan had already kind of taken a picture with him, but he came back again, and he goes, Logan, can you sign this for me and my son? And GP turns to him and goes, you get the fuck away! Back the fuck up, motherfucker, back up! And I, in the same situation, I'm back in it, round fucking two, All the kids are outside watching, like the parents are covering their fucking ears and shit. I'll fucking shit down your fucking throat. So I go, yo, GP, chill the fuck out. He turns to me, goes, and you shut the fuck up. Don't fucking talk to me. Gets in my fucking face. So this time I go, yo, GP, chill the fuck out.
Yeah.
I gave him a little fucking shove. And he goes, you want to go right now? Let's fucking do this right fucking now. And like, you know, I'm standing there face to face with this reaming bull of a fucking man, psychopath.
You're a bullfighter.
And I'm like, okay, you know what? It's Logan's dad. It's Jake's dad. This guy, a person that I actually do respect and has a lot of great qualities. I got to let him hit me first. I know that. If I hit this dude and it's one of those hits where he automatically goes down and hits his head because he's drunk and dies, I'm fucked.
That sucks.
It's over for me. There's smart. No coming back from that.
I even tried to jump in for a second. He, don't fucking touch me. Get off me. When you were in the car, he tried to get in the car. He was trying to get in the car. And I just was like, chill, relax. No, don't fucking touch me either.
I saw your face.
He gets involved. He's just
no.
Right
even
on
me,
top.
Even me, even me. After you made the attempt, I made one. I go, I'm his son. I got this. I go, Greg. I go, Dad. Can I say one thing? He goes,
no.
And then leaves. That's it.
Dude.
We're cooked.
I gotta say this. There's not one thing I change about that man. I love every bit.
No, it's fantastic,
dude.
It's fantastic.
Great. Yeah, it was great.
It is until it's not. So hold on a sec, Georgie. So listen, I like I said, love GP, great dude. But you know, I've dealt with this 10 times in the past. Oh. And it's for me, I cannot stand idly by as someone who doesn't deserve to be on the firing end of a rampage gets the firing end of a rampage, whether it's a Pakistani driver or a fan. Jeff said to me last night, he goes, why do you always get involved? And I go, because when I see a weaker, relaxed person who's just trying to have an everyday engagement encounter, devastated by a yelling person, it angers me.
Yeah, that makes
it
sense.
Digs into my soul and makes me upset. Because these are the people that pay the fucking light bills. Yeah, these are the people that put this fucking show on. Yep. So when I see someone disrespect them, that upsets me in a major fucking way. So like, you know, to me, I know you make jokes about it, but there's nothing funny about it to me. And it's a serious thing.
And now that you brought up in a serious topic, I still find it fucking amazing. But can we talk about what happened with the driver, or is that not allowed? Is that allowed?
Oh, not? Yeah, fuck it. Then
same
then
guy.
GP ended
by
up
the way,
being,
when he drove off, my ribs hurt because he moved quick
Hold
and
on
I
a
hit
second.
My ribs.
Then GP ended up being right because the dude picked us up after the club last night and crashed the fucking car with us.
Oh, that guy ran into a fucking Maserati at the club.
No, he did suck as a driver. He should not be. He has no business driving.
It was so bad.
He fucking ran into a Maserati.
Yo, right. And I ought to...
You know I called you five
times. Yo, the guy... We walked out of this club and some guy's like... Some guy's like, dude... He said it so loud so all the girls heard. He goes, I'm just trying to get my Maserati. And everyone's like, yeah, cool, bro. And then we fucking ran
Logan
into
Paul
it.
Logan Paul just crashed into it.
He goes, has anyone seen my Maserati? I go, steal the dealership, asshole. You didn't pay for it.
And then I get out of the car and I have to go wipe
off
the damage off of the car. I'm sure you can explain this. I'm always the fucking first person to fix shit.
Yeah.
So I get out, I get a towel. I'm like, listen, the car's fucking milked. Stop pointing at yourself. You got gout. You're not fucking, you're not the first person out of shit. But yo, listen, it was a shit show of a night. It always is. And honestly, like, you know, me and GP will have the same come to Jesus that we have every time. He'll probably not apologize to me. He'll probably... tell me that I'm a scumbag, piece of shit, or something like that, and we'll move on. But it's just, you know, he has his principles, he has his style. I have my principles, I have my style, and I like to believe that mine are probably a little bit more directionally accurate for where we are as a human species at the moment, and also where we are as professionals. And that's the other thing,
like seeing that out in front of a hotel with cops and shit like that, it's just not a good look.
It is not a good look. That's where I will agree with Mike. We are professionals at this point. We do have to get our shit together. And if something goes wrong, and one day there will be a video of Greg Paul freaking out and doing something that puts me in a compromising situation. We all know it. And I do not support or condone those actions. I'm going to say it ahead of time, right? I'll tweet this clip right here. Tweeting this clip when my dad does some crazy shit and I have to be like, fuck, I'm sorry for my father's actions. My father is not me. He has good intentions, but his delivery and execution sometimes is a little subpar.
I apologize, but I'm the one that invited you here.
No, stop.
And also, sandwiched in between that craziness was an amazing day for you that your dad...
Yes.
He had to be there.
He had to be here.
It's not even a
There's
question.
No question he had to be here. And that's the thing. Like, that's
fucking
and
loves
he was,
his sons,
he,
bro.
He loves like, you, and he was going nuts in the stands. I was watching him. He would fight every person in that stadium. Yeah.
He wanted to. He wanted to fight every single person in the stadium.
Regardless of all of his actions, every single person would be the second to the last one out. Your father would be next to you for the rest
of
your life. No,
100%. 100%.
So if he beats up that stranger in the street, and it's on Channel News 3, just fucking there, just in the background, I'm screaming. You can't hear me, but I'm saying all my money was on GP and I won.
As always.
Did anybody see?
You didn't win shit. What are you talking about?
Did anybody see George
I just
during
say,
the celebration?
Yeah, what was that? What you?
Oh, dude,
WWE.
No, listen to this. I'm getting DMs
sports,
out the ass.
Sports
let me clear this
posted,
up, bro.
Sports Center
let me clear this up,
hold
bro.
Let me just give some context. Sports Center posted this clip of me getting... turned on at the end. So we won the match. I won the fucking match. Amazing. And then my partner, The Miz, was it? He grand scald finale friends. He's something, some sort of finale finished me, fucking slammed me to the mat. And right when he slammed me, you could see in the SportsCenter clip, Georgie turned around. He didn't see me get fucking betrayed by my partner. And then he turns back around. He's still clapping my lip.
But not just like a clap like oh, I like the show. Like, just rooting for whatever just happened. So everybody's like, what kind of piece of shit friend are you? His partner, disrespect him. Is that what you're going to do to your partner? And I was like, what the fuck's happening? And I didn't know until I'm getting tagged on Instagram. And I'm watching myself clap for the...
Traffic jams. Tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Buenos dias, world, from the San Diego Zoo Wildlife Alliance. I'm Marco Wendt.
And I'm Rick Schwartz. And we're your hosts for Season 3 of Amazing Wildlife, a show from iHeartRadio Ruby Studio and the global conservation organization behind the San Diego Zoo and the San Diego Zoo Safari Park.
Listen as we dive into the efforts here in San Diego and spotlight the heroes working worldwide to care for the species you know and love.
Listen to Amazing Wildlife on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Long thing. And I was like, wow, that looks terrible, bro.
George, we have figured this out about you recently. You are generally a few steps behind on everything. Like, dude, we'll show up and we'll be sitting here at like 10 and we'll text you like, hey, man, we're on the set for the podcast. You'll be like, podcast question mark. Yes, that's why we're here, man. That's why we're in Dallas. How do you not know that? I'll call you sometimes. I'm like, you know, we got the flight at 9:30 tomorrow. You're like, flight where? Sorry, I don't check my phone ever.
No, I don't check my phone. And you know what? I gotta fire my sister because she never fucking. And I always ask her, Jessica, are you reading? Because like I lie and tell them I'm reading it. I got to the point where I have to stop lying. I don't read it. So I was like,
and guess what? No one else is reading it either.
Yeah, they're jumping down my throat. I appreciate your guys' patience, man. I just like to live life, dude. I like to be in the moment. It's better than you guys. You're like, hey guys, how's your weekend?
Well,
And also, that's a lie too, because you've been on your phone more than us this weekend. Oh. And you have people back that, and you were living in the moment last night when he got skull fucked, and you were still clapping. So what was the problem last night?
I lived too in the moment, bro. Because there's people behind me, bro. And let me tell you, this is my first WWE thing ever. Like, you know, and my God, the fan base is fucking
nuts.
Incredible,
yeah, no,
bro.
It's crazy.
But dude, they were like chirping and saying some shit. So then I got excited that you won. So I turn around and saw fucking tripping at people. Like, yeah, you thought he was gonna lose again, but he's not. And I turn around and I'm like this, and I'm like, what the fuck? Why is he on the ground? Like, I was so confused. I go, why does he always end up on the ground? What happened? But yeah, yeah, sorry about that, man. But I'm proud of you, dude. Like, you're doing it, man.
Thanks. It's fun, right? It's why I had everyone come out. This is probably the largest gathering of people I've ever had come out everywhere. I think we had like a party of 40.
Crazy.
And I told everyone to come because I knew it was gonna be fucking awesome. It is electric when there's someone you love in that ring and doing those moves. Like, by the way, I didn't practice like any of those moves.
I watched you train, but I didn't see you actually like pull the moves off.
No, because it's because, you know, you're doing it on that surface is hard. It is not bouncy. It is not a trampoline. There is no give. It is plywood. It's wood. And so everyone, you know, wrestling's fake. Shut the fuck up. That shit hurts. Yeah. I am sore. The left side of my body kills me right now. Like, those are real slams and they hurt. And, you know, when I was practicing, you can't just, you know, in practice even do those moves because you're gonna compromise your body ahead of the match. Yep. So you can do it on a crash pad as many times as you want. But like when I hit those, it's called the three amigos, three suplexes in a row. And by the way, for those of you who don't know, Ray had done it earlier in the match, and it was a callback to Eddie Guerrero and his whole shimmy. And so it was a little disrespectful that I did his move that he just did. I had never practiced a suplex like that. I threw both of my legs up. I'm fucking airborne.
Sick.
On the second one, bro, my head snapped back for sure. I go, I just got a concussion. I'm looking up at the lights of the Dallas Stadium. I'm like, oh, no, whatever, dude. It's WrestleMania. Turn over. And yeah, dude, the adrenaline's crazy. The crowd's going nuts. Something about the energy for a wrestling event and a boxing match is so different.
So different.
Wrestling's more fun, eh?
Remember I said it to you in the locker room before you went out?
Yeah.
I was like, the feeling for all of us is so different.
So
like,
different.
Like when me and Pam walk out of the locker rooms before your boxing fights, she can't talk. She's shaking. I'm like, it's going to be okay, Pam. It's going to be okay. He's going to do good this time. He's better now. Like all this shit.
He's better now.
and then when I was leaving you in the locker room last night before the thing, I was like, have fun, man.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, and I was like, yo, enjoy the show. Yeah. Sit back, relax. Yeah. Enjoy. It's going to be amazing. And it was awesome. The energy was crazy. Got to walk out with this card around my neck. Got to wear the cool costume and share the ring with the Mysterios. And again, for like, this is where it's interesting because I don't have a WWE fan base. And I think that's why they like me here is I'm able to, I believe part of my value comes in bridging the gap between like mainstream and this WWE world. And I can kind of do this a little bit. And if I do end up getting more involved, I would love to help bridge that gap with creativity. I think there's a way to make it some sort of like mainstream viral cultural phenomenon with the WWE.
Hey, I want to let you know, I hate to tell you this. You smell like shit, kid. You're all sweaty.
So I don't love the way that you introduce these brand deals.
Okay.
But he's right. Because I don't smell. I don't smell.
You smell.
But this episode is brought to you by Dr. Swatch.
It's actually called Dr. Swatch.
Dr. Swatch. Sorry, guys. I'm a little hungover. They're changing the way men approach personal care with high-performance natural products that smell amazing and have you feeling and looking your best. Their products will help you feel like a man and smell like a champion. With Dr. Squatch, never have another boring shower or routine again, because who likes boring? The best part, Dr. Squatch's soaps are made in the USA using only the finest ingredients Mother Nature has to offer. In fact, all of their products are at least 98% natural in origin. Other generic body washes have harsh chemicals and harmful synthetics, and that is gross. They've got an easy subscription plan and 100% satisfaction guarantee. If you use Dr. Squatch and can honestly say their products are not the best you've ever used, they'll send you your money back, no questions asked. Ditch your shit products and get some Dr. Squatch. New customers get 20% off orders, $20 or more, using the code DSQIMPULSIVE.
Take a sniff of it.
No, I know. I could use some.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Back to the show. And I think that's part of I lost my train of thought. Well, because we drank last night.
Yeah.
You know, I'm hungover.
It's storytelling.
Well, I'm just tired.
It's storytelling.
Yeah, it is. That's what it is. And I'd like to contribute to telling that story. I really would. And I had so much fun last night. And also, like, man, I want to be humble, and I will, but, like, I'm good at this.
So good. Crazy.
I'm actually good at it. Like, I realized my whole life, like, I've been throwing my body off of things. I'm flexible. I do these fucking stunts. Like, my whole life. My first video ever posted on YouTube was called Zoosh. That was our name. After Smosh. Zoosh. Stunts. It was me and Jake doing stunts in the basement, running at each other with the exercise ball. We've all done it. And you hit your friend as hard as you can to fly into the fridge, jump off the fridge, land on the mat. Like, I've been doing it my whole life. And so when I was doing these moves, I'm like, oh man, like, this is fun and I like it. And I'm kind of good at it.
Yeah, because it was like you were back to doing what you love, why you started.
Yeah.
Like, that's why you start. My favorite video from that era was Jake riding the bike off the picnic table.
He's an idiot for that.
That was my favorite. That's my favorite one. If you've ever seen that, if you haven't, go watch it.
It's called Kid Breaks Face. Jake rode a mountain bike. off a picnic table at 2 miles an hour. What's going to happen?
He goes like this. He goes.
It just face plants. Kid Breaks Face. Face plants. Yeah, it was crazy, man. It was
crazy.
And
then you get to wear this incredible card out.
Nuts, dude.
It's insane. We have 2 big WWE stars on our show today. We already shot with them, but I think let's go to Sasha first. Yeah, let's go to Sasha first, guys. Sasha Banks coming on the podcast right now.
Wow, look at the ceiling, bro.
George, if you admire the room one more time, you're off the fucking podcast, dude. It's a fucking
What do you like about this room?
It's nice to appreciate rooms. Look at those lights.
Middle Eastern as fuck, and like every Sunday, all Middle Eastern culture would get into a ballroom like this and dance the chigga. I don't know if you guys ever know.
No, but what is
you know that? It's just all like fucking... this is, if you ever see me stressed, I go like this for no reason. It's actually a reflex from the ballroom dancing.
It's just natural.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have Sasha Banks on the podcast. Sasha, welcome to Impulsive.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Thanks for having me. I'm a little hungover because my match was last night.
Last night was your WrestleMania. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you so much. We celebrated. Like, you know, that was my first win.
Of course.
Yeah.
But it's also your first WrestleMania, right?
All the things.
Yeah, wow. Everything.
It was
so great. You had to be hype. I understand.
I was very hype. We had a lot of shots. And so, you know.
Well deserved.
My brain is operating a little slow today.
It's all good.
Your match is this evening.
Yeah.
How are you feeling?
I feel super, super excited and just ready.
You're so good.
Thank you.
Can I tell you something?
What?
I'll tell you.
Just tell me. I'm here.
Okay, so when we were like practicing and stuff, I'd look over and just like see what you're doing because you're like, you know, you're the superstar.
Aww.
You know, you got WWE. What was it? You got SportsCenter like Wrestler of the Year or mm-hmm. something. And you're always just kicking ass and like breaking barriers. And I'm like, oh, that's Sasha. And like the way you move is so smooth. You're so good at this sport.
I love it. I was born to be a WWE superstar. So it's very natural for me because it's everything that I've been watching since I was 10. You know, when you're 10 years old, it's like, that's when I first studied. That's why my first training sessions, just like watching film every single day, knowing that my future was going to be in the ring one day.
No way.
Yeah.
10 years old?
10 years old. I absolutely knew that was my calling.
How is that possible?
Sitting on my in my room, just watching WWE, it just clicked on. And then the lights just shine on you. Your mind just goes, bing, whoa.
Mm.
This is your purpose. This is why you were put on this earth. You're the next big thing. and you're about to change the game in the world with wrestling.
Just
you know?
At 10 years old, like what were you doing?
Well, no, because I was doing this. I didn't have the calling, but I was doing the same thing. I was watching Razor Ramon. I was watching, you know.
Do you ever get
Michaels
called X-Pac? You kind of look like him sometimes.
I'll take it for sure. I'll take it.
Yeah, you look
like
him.
I've never heard it before. I get happy. Wow. I get Adam Sandler.
No, you don't, bro. You do not at all. No. All right,
question for you, X-Pac from X-Pac. So yeah, I used to jump off couches onto pillows. Yep. I used to slam on my friends. But how did you parlay that into actually doing it for money and like being the biggest in the world? You know what I'm saying?
I found a pro wrestling school at 18, signed up, and you know, just worked my butt off every single day, just traveling around New England and Boston, and I was just like trying to get my name out there. There was not many women out there. I was probably wrestling the same four women every single weekend, and the matches weren't great, you know. Yeah. And fans didn't appreciate women back then. It was still like the bra and panty era that they were seeing on TV. So when I was coming out, they're chanting puppies or yay, like just like the most
puppies,
you know, degrading, yeah, not making you feel like how I'm supposed to feel
right
when I'm going out there. Yeah. So every time I went out there at 18 years old, I was like, I have to show these fans that I am the greatest and that I belong and that, you know, we're more than just a pretty face. So I traveled all around there for 2 years and emailed WWE like every single week saying, hey,
cold emails,
emails,
cold yeah. emails,
cold emails,
I'm
just saying,
you.
Hey,
that's how we found Caleb. Cold emails.
Wow.
They work.
It works. You know, I just asked, like, can I get a tryout? Can I get a tryout? Can I get a look at? A couple no's, couple no's, couple. Yeah. Hey, we're in Boston. Let's check you out. You know?
So sick.
Yeah.
Wow. I can't believe you found your calling at 10 years old and then you just did it. 18 years old, you're professional wrestling. Then cold emails got you where you are
and
today.
Got me where I was.
You have a crazy story.
It's pretty. It's been a wild, wild ride and it's been really, really fast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How are you handling it all?
I'm handling it. Yeah, it's been good. It's thanks to amazing plant medicine that helps a lot.
Yeah.
Meditation, being, you know, spiritual. I love my crystals help me a lot.
What do you have there?
This is a lapis lazuli.
Can I hold?
No.
Ooh,
don't give it to Mike. Yep,
no.
What? Why?
It's my energy. It's my.
Okay.
It's my crystal.
Can anyone hold?
No. Not Mike. He'll try to smoke it. No. So just be careful.
he used to be addicted to drugs.
Who?
Yeah.
You.
That one. Yeah. Ex-pop.
Adam Sandler.
Wow.
Yeah, for a long time. I'm an East Coaster as well. Got a lot of drugs out there. A lot of crack.
Yeah. But now what are you doing?
Drugs.
Still
drugs.
Doing drugs.
He used to wrestle with other people. He used to wrestle with himself. He's
with
like, I gotta stop doing
it. With my
it.
Demons. Yeah, no. Yep. I do a podcast with Logan Paul now. So
that's awesome.
It's pretty cool sometimes. And George Janko as well.
So that's your own. I'm actually curious about this. That's your crystal and that's like your energy and only you're allowed to touch it.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you have any amethyst?
Of course I do. My house is filled with crystals. Mm-hmm. It looks like a crystal store. I have like the biggest like amethyst crystals like you can think
sick,
of.
Sick, yep. Sick. I pulled one from the earth.
No freaking way.
Yeah, yeah. You have ever gone crystal hunting?
No, that is one of my goals.
You
to go.
Should go crystal
where
hunting.
Where did you go?
Where did we go?
South Carolina.
Purple Heart Mine in South Carolina.
Oh
God. So I'm like semi into crystals.
Yeah.
And I have, you know, some next to my bed, the whole nine. Mm-hmm. And crystal hunting was one of like the top 10 experiences of my life. And I'm not even like. I don't know, that obsessed with them, but pulling this crystal from the earth was so special.
It's so amazing.
First person to ever touch it. Think about that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Three like million years of history and you're the first person to
you're the one who
amethyst.
Digged that out of this earth, this
it's
planet.
Crazy. You should
wow.
go.
It was huge, too. It wasn't a small
it was
crystal.
Massive.
Like this big.
That is incredible.
When did you...
No,
I'll go off the top rope right.
Well, because
this kind of part,
I was actually curious, like, do you ever have time to do fun things like that? Hobby? Because, I've been very loosely, you know, coming in and out, making appearances at WWE here and there. And this is rigorous. This schedule's crazy. No, it's like insane. So do you ever have time off to actually go do things you like to do?
No, never. I legit have to go to Vince's office and be like, hey, can I have a month off?
Yeah.
Can I take care of my body? Can I just get my mind? And he'll be like, yes. So other than that, then no, we just go. You know, this past weekend we did a 15-hour travel. We had live events. We had TV. We come here. We land. We have appearances. It's just nonstop go. That you don't even have time to focus on yourself. It's just like you're the performance. You're it. This is WrestleMania. This is just everything that you work for.
Does that worry you at all? Like, do you ever feel like you should be devoting more time to taking care of yourself?
No, because I know the balance. I know how to do it. I've been doing this for 11 years now. This is my seventh WrestleMania. You know, after you kind of get into a rhythm, you get your routine down. It becomes actually more easy.
Got it. The crystals. I want to tap back on it for a second. Were you always into those? Because it seems to be a really big part of your stuff, though. Like, when did you start doing that?
I started getting into crystals maybe in 2018 when I took my break from WWE.
Got it.
You know, I was just, like, really searching for myself, and I just wanted to find the most natural way of healing without going to a therapist, going to a doctor, taking, you know, prescription medicine. You know, I was just learning and researching things that were the first thing on the planet, the first thing on the earth, and the magic behind it. And the more that I searched, the more that I knew about energy and changing your energy, and changing your energy can change your life. That's how I got really more into spirituality and crystals.
So you're into it now?
I'm so into it.
What noticeable, like, physical, mental, emotional changes have you noticed after you started to implement crystal?
Everything. When I say that, just I mean, everything. My personality, the way that I speak to people, because every crystal has a different meaning.
Yep.
You know, if you need more love in your life, you need a rose quartz. If you need protection or help with your voice, there's lapis lazuli. There's smoky quartz for negative energy. There's just so many different things in it. Really does work.
If you could recommend any crystal for Logan, what do you think it would be?
Well, he already said he likes amethyst.
I love amethyst.
And you look like you're a love person. You don't really need, like, rose quartz.
I look like a love person?
You're very laid back.
Really?
To me right now, I feel like I'm receiving love. He's half asleep.
I was up late taking shots. And love is crazy. Have you ever been in love?
Of course.
Have you been able to maintain any sort of relationship with this WWE schedule?
Yes.
Really? Are you in one right now?
Of course.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
Congrats.
Is it with a wrestler?
No.
Oh, okay. Is this public?
It is, but... Yes.
Okay.
it is easy.
Because I noticed everyone in the WWE just dates each other.
Yeah, because we know everybody's schedule. Like, this is the same schedule.
They're always like married to another wrestler or dating another wrestler.
I can't imagine dating someone that's not in wrestling or out of this business. They would not understand.
Wait, so you are dating someone in the business?
In the business, yeah, but not a professional wrestler.
Oh.
Is he like a gaffer? Is he like setting up the lights for you? He's like, babe, you look good today, man. You really shined even before I turned on the lights. By the way, this is my first WrestleMania I've ever been to. And man, was it a show, dude. Like, yeah. I actually, like, when I walked into this thing, I was like, what the fuck's happening here? And then it literally, when it started, I was like, oh shit. When this fire was like a mile away from me, and my face almost melted off. I was like, oh my God, this is amazing.
It's crazy.
I'm not a fan of my buddy's partner, though, by the way. So
The Miz?
Yeah.
Well, he turned on me like a fucking
dickhead.
And by the way, I missed that.
I think he's, honestly, I know what happened.
Tell me.
He's extremely jealous that I can do cool shit and he can't.
Ooh. I think so. You impressed the world last night.
Thank you. I was flipping. I was doing some flips.
You were doing the frog splash, the Three Amigos.
But that ain't shit compared to what you do.
That is what I do. Nah, that's my moveset.
You go crazy.
You stole my moveset.
But in the beginning of this podcast, he did say he was watching you.
That's Eddie Guerrero, yes.
Okay, so you like Eddie Guerrero, right?
Not like, I love. You love Eddie Guerrero. My idol. That's the first person that I saw in television that I was like, whoa, what is this? What am I watching? How can I get involved? Like, what is this on TV?
So I didn't know much about him. And then I realized that most of the moves I was practicing and doing, like, I don't know why, like, my physicality just lends myself well to his moves.
Yes, because he can do it all.
And so when I did the shimmy on the top rope, everyone was booing
disrespect.
Me.
Disrespect. so much disrespect.
No disrespect to Eddie Guerrero. We love Eddie Guerrero.
We love Eddie Guerrero.
Yeah. And John Cena, too, right? Like, you grew up watching?
I grew up watching John Cena, but he wasn't my absolute favorite wrestler.
Who was?
Eddie Guerrero is my number one wrestler. Cool. But, you know, John Cena is just the standard that we look at as a WWE superstar. He's like someone that we need to surpass. So when I look at John Cena, when I hear that name. Well, how do you
look
name,
at John Cena?
Exactly.
You can see John Cena?
With the crystal power and my energy, absolutely, I can see John Cena.
Right.
You
know,
but that is just like a standard. You have John Cena, you have The Rock, and it's like, where's that woman's name next to it?
Yeah.
Let's go.
I love that. No, you're doing it, Sasha. It's so cool. It's something I look at with the WWE is always, not just WWE, like anything. I'm always trying to like transcend, break the barriers. And you do stuff outside of the WWE as well. And I'm assuming you have some sort of 5-year plan to expand your arsenal, right? You already did. You were in The Mandalorian, last season.
Yeah,
some real Hollywood stuff.
Yeah,
is more of this happening? Are you gonna break out and become that superstar of the world?
Yes, I am.
Let's go.
Yes, I am. You know, it's kind of really hard to do with the WWE schedule. I mean, when I shot The Mandalorian last year, it went from doing TV, doing live events, and then just getting on a plane, going to LA. Shooting all week, getting on a red eye, going back to TV, putting my hair in, taking my hair out for 3 months. Mm. For 3 months. And it was just wow. So if I'm going to take over the world, it's like I got to choose one or the other. And that's the hard part to think of because wrestling has been my life, my whole life. So when that time and that opportunity comes, it's like I really have to sit back and think like, what's next, you know?
Yeah.
Is it full-time Hollywood? Is it full-time, you know, doing something else that I have passions about, or is it still being here and making more history and changing the game and leaving a legacy that's forever cemented? But I feel like I've already done that.
Mm.
I feel like I'm already a Hall of Famer. I already feel like I've done all. So it's like, what is that last legacy piece that I can leave here?
Mm.
I'm still searching for
it. Mm. It's a big switch. Mm-hmm. And you're right. You're right. Like everyone who is the best at what they do usually does that thing.
Yeah.
100%. So doing it both and trying to, you know, have this balance is tough. But personally, the Hollywood for me, it's a little much. Hurry up and wait. Mm. You know, you're on everyone else's time.
Yeah, but like
my producer's going like this. No. I'd like to know what this means.
You worked with John Favreau.
What? Yeah. What?
Holy cow.
I do want to go to space.
Oh, so that's
what this means.
I don't know.
Yo, that's your sign for space. That's the classic.
That's like the universal sign of wrap it up.
100%.
Wait. Okay, let's talk about this. Mm-hmm.
Space.
Outer space.
Mars space. It's like you said. It's like if I'm gonna be here on this planet, why not be the first? Why not try to beat Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk? Mm-hmm. Why not? Why can't I try? Why can't I think big? Mm. So I think I would love to go to space. I would love to be the first woman to put pro wrestling on a different planet.
Whoa. Would you, if you went to the moon?
Not the moon, let's say Mars.
If you went to Mars.
Yeah.
What would be the first wrestling move you hit?
Lord.
It has to be a frog splash. It has to be
off the
frog
top rope. You're just floating down.
Forever. And I
just
forever.
15-minute frog.
Can I ask you a question? Yeah. It's a hot topic.
It's a hot topic.
You think we made it to the moon?
From the pictures that I saw, I don't know. But maybe. You never know in this world.
You never know. That is, by the way, the really ultimate conclusion of everything. Like, I leave everything open-ended and never try to be too set in stone because you never know. What is this life, Sasha? What is going on?
What is this life?
We're on a floating rock in the middle of an infinite, ever-expanding universe. What the fuck is going on? Somehow our species developed the technology and communications to have some sort of intercultural connection where you can make programs like this one or talk to your friends about emotions and feelings.
Are you saying Neil Armstrong's an industry plant? Is that what you're saying right now?
A fake
John, like,
I'm not.
What's good?
I'm asking questions.
I think it's disrespect. I think that you just Eddie Guerrero'd Neil Armstrong. You did the little shimmy.
Isn't his name Bob Armstrong?
I don't think his name's Bob.
No.
Tim Armstrong.
No, but that would be CEO great if it was, though, huh?
CEO of America Online.
You actually.
Done for,
guys,
man.
How do we just move past the fact that she worked with John Favreau? Like, that's one of the greatest directors.
It is great. You know what's even greater? Her cousin Snoop Dogg. Her fucking cousin Snoop Dogg. Is Snoop Dogg.
You're joking.
I'm not.
So you're just like royalty.
You're just, you know, your bloodline's just killing
My bloodline, it's pretty strong.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And sometimes I sit back and I can't believe it, but yeah, he's just a phone call away. He's just a flight away. I love going to the dog pound and just hanging out with him. It's just, have you ever been there?
The workout place.
No,
he's got a big compound.
Okay, because there's a workout place in LA.
Yeah, I know that.
I've been there once, twice.
Awesome.
Yeah, fantastic place. Well, okay, so his mom, your dad is explaining to me the relationship.
My dad and his dad are brothers.
Oh, you're you guys first cousins.
Yes.
Wow.
I thought this was one of those things like third cousins.
Nope.
Was,
yo, these genetics though. He's like, I'm going to take over hip hop. And she's jumping off the top rope.
And I'm going to take over wrestling. And that's what I told him when I was 16 years old.
That's dope. Yep.
Did the success that he was having at that time inspire you at all? Because you know when your family or someone has done the thing that is like seemingly impossible. Like, I'm sure you saw the barriers he was breaking and how far he was making in his career. And you're like, oh, I could do this. Did that happen?
Not really. Hmm. Honestly, no. Because like, when I was a kid, I found out Snoop Dogg was my cousin when I was like 9 years old. My mom told me. I was like, what?
Imagine they sit you down. They're like, we have to tell you.
And you know,
something.
When you're a kid and then you go to school and I'm like, hey, everybody, Snoop Dogg's my cousin. They're like, no, he's not. Prove it. How? Show a picture. And I'm like, great. Now I'm going to be bullied at school. And I was until Snoop Dogg came and had a concert. And I got everybody's shirts and everybody signed autographs. And people were like, whoa.
Sorry.
He became the coolest person
Snoop Dogg
in all of Iowa.
Came to the school.
He didn't come to the school. It became to Iowa for a concert.
Oh, got it.
And there was my proof. There was my picture. I was on stage. I got everybody's shirts. I got everybody autographs. And I was just like,
fuck y'all.
Yeah.
Fuck y'all in your shirts.
Proved it. Got it.
Damn, dude.
That's crazy.
Snoop is awesome.
We need him on the show.
We should have him.
You got to pull some strings for us.
Yeah, I got you.
For sure.
We were supposed to have him on. And then something happened.
Sure, well, he had just bought Death Row, and it was like a big week for him. And he had a lot of stuff going on.
How
so
legendary.
Is that crazy or what?
Wow.
Just nuts. Full circle.
He has everything. Super Bowl, I just can't believe his legacy just keeps on growing.
Any more legends in your family we should know about?
I got Brandy.
No.
Brandy's my cousin.
Ray J and Brandy?
Ray J's my cousin.
Yes. Wait, sorry, what?
I know, exactly.
His family is royalty.
It's royalty. It's pretty legit.
Are you an industry plant?
I don't think so. Okay. But you never know. You never know.
I'm big on the importance of branding. Mm-hmm. And you've done a great job branding. Your hair is so blue and long and beautiful.
Thank
and I think it really contributes to your brand, right? People, when they want to see a show.
They want to see the full thing, a performance.
Yeah.
The blue hair, the rings, the necklace, the glasses. They want to be like you. They want to dress like you. Like, so when I go to a show, when you go to WrestleMania, you'll see so many people dressed like the superstars that they see. They want to emulate what they see on TV. Mm, so I wanted to make sure that I stood out. So, you know, people can't miss me. I got the bluest of the bluest hair. Mm.
When you were talking about what you do before, you were like, you know, I got to go to Hollywood, do Mandalorian. I got WWE stuff to do. I got to take my hair out, put it back in. Like, you listed that on the same level as the Mandalorian.
It is.
And talk, like, what time did you wake up this morning to start glam?
So last night, my hair lady flew in after having her flight like delayed and me freaking out. Ooh. Like, am I going to have my hair in? Am I going to have to find a person? Like, this is last minute. You can't find a hairstylist like that. It takes about 4 to 6 hours to put a weave in.
Oh.
People don't know that. That's a big part of my day, and I'm just sitting there. So I did that last night. I missed WrestleMania. You know, I wanted to be there. I wanted to see Stone Cold Steve Austin. Like, that's a 10-year-old kid in me.
Yeah.
But I have to sacrifice that so I can look good at my WrestleMania. You know, I had to wake up at 5 in the morning so I can pack, so I can think, get glam for this. And then now I have to go straight to WrestleMania, rehearse my entrance, do another couple appearances, and get ready for the show.
That's so crazy.
It's so crazy.
You didn't get to see Stone Cold?
I'll see him today.
Okay.
But I wanted to see his match live. I wanted to hear that reaction because I know I'm never going to, you know, you're not going to experience.
It was electric.
You were there.
No,
you left after?
I left, yeah.
Bro,
you missed that? Well, I know, but I had to get tequila in my system.
You should have brought it backstage.
That's cold,
some for
bro.
You.
Stone cold.
Listen. Oh, my God.
You were one of the people. So, again, I'm new to this world, but walking in the back and seeing all these, like, characters you've seen your whole life and, like,
They're the most like picturesque cartoon type real life people. Like, yo, you see Randy Orton backstage? Come on, bro. That's Randy fucking Orton.
It's Randy Orton.
No way that's a real guy. He's real.
You see Drew McIntyre. It's like what you see on TV is what you see backstage. But yeah. It's like
almost, wow. Almost. You ran into almost.
Almost? I can't even believe it. He is the largest
person I've ever seen.
He can't even fit on an airplane. I feel like
we took a picture with George, then me, then almost. Is it almost or Omos?
I think it's almost.
Oh, Omos.
Oh, almost. Okay, the giant. I'll call him the giant. The giant.
How tall is this guy?
7'3".
He's like
7'3", dude. He's massive.
Hands are like
and dude. The craziest, dude,
he's a big boy,
massive. Huge. The craziest moment of meeting them is like you dream up your whole life, like meeting these people, and then you run into them. They're like, the podcast, and you're like, what has happened here? What has happened?
That's pretty cool.
It's cool. Snoop Dogg cousin cool, but it's pretty
cool.
But
it's in your own right. Like,
yeah, it's awesome.
You know,
do you have any other like secret talents? Like, you can obviously wrestle, right?
But it's a secret, you know. I feel like with WWE, you can't give them everything.
In the entertainment world,
you can't give them everything. You got to leave some, you know, later.
Up your sleeve. Mm-hmm. I feel like you're double jointed. I don't know why.
That's what I'm saying.
Can you bend your whole arm back? Like,
I'm pretty flexible.
I'm
pretty flexible. Yeah, I have to say.
Do you stretch or were you born with it?
No, I had to learn to stretch. You know, I really hurt my hip in 2019, and I thought, like, man, watch me get a hip replacement in like 4 years. I'm like, I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be like the heroes that I see that can barely walk. So I started incorporating yoga and stretching every single day, and now I can do the splits, you know?
I have almost an identical story.
Yeah.
Injuries led me to stretching because you were not able to do, you know, like regular workouts. And then all of a sudden, I literally had the same story. I was able to do the splits.
It's crazy.
I was like, that's weird.
It's been always my dream since I was a kid. And I could never do it. And now, bam.
And now you use it in your arsenal.
Now I use
As a performer, it's the coolest thing ever when you can bump into the splits.
It's just, it's badass.
Yeah, who could do that?
He did a split on the Great Wall of China.
Oh, no. I didn't see that. I saw last night.
When he got kicked in the face?
When I saw that happen, I go, I wonder how many people are satisfied by
and
that.
And a great leapfrog, too. Wow.
Thank you.
So good.
I was going to ask this because my first leapfrog, my headband fell off.
Oh, I saw, yeah.
Yep. And I was like, I tried to put it back on. I was like, I didn't know what to do, right? Mm-hmm. I just had to let it go. I had to let it go, but I really wanted it on. And you have this hair. Uh-huh. Does anything ever go wrong with it? Because it's flying around and
I'll
not all
tell
the way
you
on.
The worst thing that has ever happened with my hair. And it just, I think it was Extreme Rules 2020. It's the end of this match with Asuka. And Asuka is one of our top superstars. She is a badass and just like the best. We're fighting back and forth. And then she rolls me up and I just hear this rip.
Oh, no.
I go, oh! And I just feel like the wind. Like touching my braids, I feel like my braids are exposed. My whole closure ripped in half.
Oh no!
Like this, and now it's dangling over my face, and we're on a live pay-per-view.
Fantastic.
It was awful.
This
so
is
the
what
next
we
thing
you
know,
for.
I'm just going like this. Have to finish the match. I finished the match, and I'm on the floor looking at my tag team partner Bailey. I'm like, "Help me! Yeah. Help me!" She's pulling my wig down, and she just goes. I can't.
Oh, no, that sucks.
It was awful. I just grabbed a towel. I put it over my head. I'm like, I can't get that beauty shot of me holding up the towel. I ran to the back.
Yeah, well, these things are bound to happen. Yeah.
I couldn't believe that.
I bet that like kind of like low-key made you really sad. Huh?
It didn't. No, it. I ran to the bathroom. And I was just like, did this just happen?
And then
I came out. I was like, that was the funniest thing ever.
I'm just saying it feels inevitable.
You can't cry about it. You just have to laugh about it.
Yeah.
All right. So now we're getting the actual wrap it up sign. So we'll see you in space.
I'll see you there.
We're being told you have to leave.
I have to get ready for WrestleMania.
Best of luck on your match tonight. Thank you so much for doing the show. Honestly, like I know what it's like to give your energy to programs before big night. And so like we really appreciate you, Sasha.
Thanks
for
having me. I appreciate you guys.
So cool. Yes. So cool, Sasha.
Thank you.
gonna go wild. I don't know what's gonna come out. How's it going?
She goes,
pleasure.
Did you say you're gonna go wild?
Yeah, I don't know what's gonna come out right now. I'm feeling wild. I'm feeling wild.
Get that thing rolling, boys.
Becky Lynch is here. Are we rolling?
Let's go nuts.
Were we rolling? We share agents.
Oh, hell yeah. Awesome.
That's awesome. That's one cool thing so far.
Yeah, yeah. And we share stealing the goddamn show.
Let's go.
Yeah, let's go. Are we recording? Are we doing
this?
Yeah,
we're ready. We're rolling.
Do you wear headphones when you do the programs?
No. Do I need them?
No, you don't have to.
I don't want to hear my own voice.
It sounds great. I love your voice.
It's very husky right now.
Husky.
Thanks to Bianca Belair.
I don't want to. Do you want to talk about it? Because, like, I don't want to. I don't know.
Well, you know what? Here's the thing, right? Last night, I go out there to the ring. I go out by myself, like I always do. Always by myself. And then here she comes with a freaking army. An army. I was by myself. She has an army. Of course, that's going to throw me off my game. There was an army with her. I don't know how many people were there. 100 people? I'm by myself. Of course it threw me off my game.
I was rehearsing, you know, my walkout, and I saw her walk out with a entire band, and she rehearsed it like 4 times. And I, too, was wondering why she got this special thing. No offense, obviously, but like...
I mean, mine was pretty special, too.
Well, you didn't have an army.
I didn't have an army! Yeah. Yeah. Which is why I lost.
She had an entire band backstage.
An entire band. But I didn't know. Maybe somebody was going to come along with a trombone, hit me in the back of the head. I don't know. If I had an army, that's what I would do.
Have you been hit with a trombone before? Has that ever happened?
I mean, look, not yet. But this is the wrestling business. You never know what's going to happen. A trombone, a trumpet, a clarinet, you know, they could be flying willy-nilly all over the place.
Do you feel like you were kind of like cheated a little bit? Like if you had a chance to one-on-one and like without all the theatrics that you could pull it off?
Of course. I already beat her in 26 seconds. I beat her in 26 seconds. It shouldn't have lasted
That's
so
like
long.
Masvidal time.
And but that was only because it got in my head. It got in my head. The army got in my head. But I dominated her. I don't know if you watched, but I dominated her.
Right.
The next time I got her.
You don't even care.
I don't even care, but I do care. But no, here's the thing. Yeah. You're right. I don't care. But I do care, but I care a little bit. But the thing is that when I lose, right? And when I lose, I really win because I come back stronger. Yeah, that's what happens. Yeah. Okay, this is a good thing. That's good. I'm glad we had this powwow.
You're telling us to yourself.
This is a real time discovery.
I'm glad we had this powwow because when I lose, I come back stronger, right? It's happened before. It happened at SummerSlam 2018. And then I became the man. Then it became the biggest thing in the entire industry. It happened at Royal Rumble 2019. I lost my match early on in the night, and then I came back and won the Royal Rumble. This is good, guys. This is good. I'm going to come back stronger than ever.
100%.
It's a real-time discovery.
You know how you build muscle? By breaking down muscle.
Breaking
first, you got to tear
down.
That shit. Then you got to get back in there, and you come back stronger than ever.
Yeah.
With an army and a trombone.
Yeah, and a clarinet and a trumpet.
Yes, all that
yes.
stuff.
Yes, maybe bring a flute for good measure. How are you feeling?
I'm so good.
Oh, good.
I'm sore. Wow, some of those moves hurt.
Yeah, they do, huh? You did great.
Thank you. You wished me luck beforehand.
I'm a lucky charm.
No, you really are. Is that a Scottish accent I'm hearing?
Oh, it's
Irish.
Hence the lucky charm.
Oh, you just offended a lot of people there, Logan.
To be fair, he did not.
No.
He did not. We like the Scots. Right?
Oh,
I'm down with the Scots.
Got it.
It's the English that stole our potatoes. it's the English that...
You're still mad about the potato famine?
Still a little
really?
Bit. I think
what
it's
was that? What was that, 18?
You know,
what was that, 1812? 1812
Yeah. You know, it's ingrained. It's just we're born with it in our DNA. We come out going, potatoes.
So you've obviously come a long way from Ireland.
Yeah.
You're sitting in this atrium right now in the middle of Dallas, Texas with a couple of idiots doing a podcast.
How did you get here? How did you get to this point?
I don't know.
How many potatoes did you eat?
So many. I just had some for breakfast. I don't know, man. I ask myself that question all the time. I was a little stoner and a drunk. Of course, I'm Irish. You know, when I was younger and I was going down a bad track and... you know, just just doing all the things that I shouldn't. And I was failing PE. How does anybody fail PE? And
did you not show up? Like,
I showed up. That's the problem. I showed up, and I don't know.
Dude, what... even I passed PE, and I couldn't even spell PE.
I don't know. I don't. I must have just been so bad, and I failed PE. Made my mom cry. All those bad things. And then I was like, you know, I got to get my life in order. I got to get stuff together. But I didn't want to go to a gym. That seemed too conventional for me. And I found out they were opening a wrestling school. One of our wrestlers now, Finn Balor, thank you very much. Finn Balor opened a wrestling school in Bray, which is about an hour away from where I live. And I was like, I love wrestling. That's how I'm going to go get fit. I'm going to be a wrestler. And so so I went down. And I was expecting, you know, to go in, I'd see a wrestling ring. Of course, you'd see a wrestling ring in a wrestling school. And I walk in, there's no wrestling ring. It's just six blue padded mats on the floor. And that's how we learned to wrestle for the first 3 months. And then we finally got a wrestling ring. And I'll never forget standing in that thing. So I couldn't believe it. I was like, this is what I've watched on TV. This thing is magic. And I was hooked. It turned my whole life around. I got more disciplined when it came to school, when it came to diet, when it came, you know, I stopped drinking, doing all the bad stuff. And yeah, and here I am. Well, that's not how I got here. I then ended up quitting for 7 years and then came back. But that's how it started. That's how it started. No, and I ate lots of potatoes.
You painted that pretty vividly.
Yeah, that was amazing. Yeah, same.
Until the 7 year break, what the fuck happened? Dude, you painted that shit, and then you were like, and then 7 years. 7 years is a long time, bro. What were you doing in seven years?
She was in jail for killing her pee.
Mrs. Corcoran, you bitch.
You still remember her?
Yeah, of course I do. She was a little butterball, too.
We all remember our PE teachers. He remembers I remember one of his teachers, Mr. Zubaydy.
Mr. Zubaydy was the best. He was my astronomy teacher. I got expelled from high school for selling drugs. Oh. And he was the only one that would come meet me, and all the other teachers like shunned me. And he would come meet me at Dunkin' Donuts after he got out of school at 4:30, and he made sure that I made it through high school.
Oh, I mean, man. Well,
he bought drugs from him. So.
Why do you have to turn my most heartwarming moments into horrible stuff?
Because you'll never have one, Mike.
And I never got a chance to go thank him. He passed.
Wait.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it sucked. I wrote about it in the...
On Amazon. Well, you have a book?
Stop. Okay.
You got a book?
No, please. Stop, please. Does anyone...
Do you have a book?
Because yes.
I'm currently writing my book.
Let's connect. I'd love to connect with you.
That would be awesome.
Yeah. I put out a book. The audience does not want to hear about it ever again.
It's actually exciting. As soon as you put out your first book, you get to talk about it all the time.
I love to talk about myself, so this is great.
No, I love it. Actually, like, even yesterday, dude, like, a guy that you wouldn't even think would ever come up to Mike... Like, the interaction that he gets with people that read his book, I'm actually jealous of it. It's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
They have a great connection.
You're obviously very good at articulating and speaking. I'm glued to when you speak. And I want you to describe to me what it was about wrestling that was able to pull you out of this unhealthy, like, kind of negative lifestyle.
So, I think it was several things, right? That, one, I saw it on TV. And I don't know if you guys remember Tough Enough. Did you watch Tough Enough? And I remember these people getting this opportunity to become professional wrestlers, and so many of them, they would quit or they would give up or they would complain. I was like, what are you doing? Come on, this is your one shot. You're in there with Triple H. You're in there with Stone Cold. What are you doing? And I would lose my mind as a little 13, 14, 15-year-old kid watching this thing. And I think that ability to show toughness really appealed to me, you know, that I wanted to prove that I was tough, that I was hardcore, and it kind of gave me an identity. But wrestling, it's first of all, I felt special, you know. I was the only girl there, and I felt like, you know, I'm the only girl hanging in a man's world. I'm this 15-year-old kid who's lied. By the way, I had to lie about my age to even get into the class because you had to be 16, and I felt like it gave me an identity, that I was always searching for something. Mm. I didn't know who I was. I was lost. Didn't know what I wanted to do. And it gave me an identity and something that I could sink my teeth into and improve at and notice myself getting better. Even though I was awful, I was so bad when I began, that I loved it so much that I wanted to improve, and I'd never had that before. I didn't care if I got better PE or anything else. You know, it just, it didn't interest me. But here was this thing and this art, and there's so much that goes into it. You know, you've got the athleticism, you've got the performance, you've got the storytelling, and it's the storytelling, I think, that really hooked me more than anything, because anybody can go out and do the moves. This guy goes out and does the move.
You know, Triple H
awesome.
Told me that.
You're absolutely awesome.
He told me that literally right before I went on, Triple H came up to me and was like, was it Triple H?
Yeah,
backstage?
It was Triple H.
Okay, I was. I'm going to get grilled for that.
You had a long night, everybody.
He goes, just so you know, it's not always about the physicality. He goes, the people want to see your charisma. And I'm like, all right, they want to see you, your personality. And I'm like, okay, cool. So I actually took that. Like, I was thinking about what he said during some of the displays and trying to just come through the screen and so people could feel my emotion. And I can already tell, like, you do such a good job of that.
No,
you're
but
so invested.
You killed with that.
Oh,
and you told a great story. And it's funny because a lot of people come in, they don't want to be the bad guy. And you were so comfortable in that role. And
you
it
think
was
so,
so
used
yes.
To it.
But it was it was so fun to watch. It was so fun for all of us backstage and the audience to watch, and it was great.
Thank you. I don't want to be a bad guy.
Oh, you don't want to be a bad guy.
I don't want to be a heel.
Oh, you're so good at it. But also you're very good at your comedic timing. I was watching that when you were doing the stuff with Sami Zayn. Before. And your comedic timing
was
fantastic.
Thank you. Yeah, I want to be liked, you know? Like, I don't want... Like, okay, like, I'm a heel now, I guess, technically. But, like, maybe I could be a babyface one day. Because you were a babyface.
I was a babyface for a long time. But the thing is a lot of the time when you're so good at being a heel, you become a babyface. Because one, you're having fun, right? Mm. Like, it's so fun. It's so fun to be a heel because you don't care what anybody thinks. And what freedom that is.
That is
because
true.
Because we all go around caring about what people think of us and their opinions of us. And it's so easy to offend anybody now more than ever and to know that we're offending people. And so to have people like you, if they do like you, the adulation is great and you feel amazing. But to have that freedom to go, I don't care what you think of me. I'm going to do my thing and there's not a damn thing you can do about it. And then because you have that attitude, everybody wants to have that attitude. And they go, oh, man, that person's cool. I like them.
There is an extreme freedom in that. I told these guys because, you know, when I walk out, people boo. And these are my friends, and people are fucking booing me. Like,
sorry,
everyone's
that,
booing me.
I just wanted to be like everybody else. Dude.
And I'm like, no, like, it's fine. It's okay. You live in that space. And the WWE has actually taught me that lesson to kind of just, like, disconnect. Don't take it too personal. Put on that big show. Piss people off. You. Fuck y'all. Fuck y'all, bro. Like, I'm going to go out there and do my thing regardless. And there's so much freedom and, I don't know, strength and being able to just remove yourself and put on an amazing show. And I don't know. Do you like being the heel better than a baby face?
Yeah. Because of that freedom, man. You can do no wrong if you're a heel.
Yeah.
You can do no wrong. They hate you. You're doing your job. They love you. Great, I'm awesome. So it's fun. But then it is that thing. You got to remove yourself from the character because you know, when it's your art and when you feel so connected to it, this is my life, man. I'm putting my life on the line for you. I'm putting my life on the line. And you're telling me I'm no good at the thing I'm putting my life on the line to entertain you? Excuse me? And you get that chip on your shoulder. And that's fun too, you know? But when you go out there and the crowd is just reacting and you're able to tell the story, you're just telling a story. And when you feel that, when you feel them either loving you, hating you, getting getting in into all of the moves, everything. It's just, there's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. It's like theater on crack. It's great.
Yeah. That sounds great.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Mikey, are you relapsing?
Dude. Does anyone ever, have you ever seen The Fifth Element before?
Yes. Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Do you
yeah.
get that all the time? You no, literally.
Well no, because this is a new hairdo. Again, thanks to Bianca Belair who beat me last night. Oh. So yeah, because before I had long red hair, long, luscious, gorgeous, yeah. beautiful, flowing yeah, yeah. red hair, like the child from Brave, you know.
Well, you're gonna start hearing it all, Leo Lulu.
Yeah,
that's her. You're gonna be hearing about it all the time.
What does she say? She has a line. What does she?
Lulu Dallas.
Lulu Dallas. Mo- yeah. Mo-
Lulu Dallas.
That's all she could say.
Which is quite very appropriate right now that we're in Dallas.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
wow.
yeah, yeah.
Wow, she's way smarter than us. We didn't even make that connection at all. This kid is...
every WWE superstar we've sat down with has this radiant personality. You are electric. I can feel
hers, oh. Hers is the biggest.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Number one, easily.
Oh, thanks.
And with that, you can do so much. Do you have aspirations beyond WWE?
Oh, man, I just love performing. I love talking. I love... And now writing. I love writing. So we're gonna have to chit chat later.
Absolutely.
We have the same agent like we said when we started. Oh.
Yeah. you
can't whisper into
that
the
is
mic.
Your agent.
Like, is it Brad? Is it Brad?
And so yeah, man, yeah. I did my degree in acting, and when I was gone for those 7 years that we never talked about.
Yeah, I love how you like skipped talked about. We all laughed, and she went, anyways. So it's like, oh, she was in prison, 100%.
So for those 7 years, I'll give you a quick recap. I went to Orlando, did a personal training diploma. Was like, oh no, I don't want to be a personal trainer. I like training. I don't like training other people. They just stand at me and jiggle their fat at me. They go, how do I get rid of this? That's all anybody ever says to you when you're trying to just, and they grab it right there and they go, how do I get rid of this?
Since I figure it out.
Every single time.
I was going to ask you that. Now I'm not going
to. You went from failing PE class to failing team people in PE class. You were like the worst trainer ever.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
skip the PE, man. Just
yeah,
get out of
skip
it.
Skip it. Become professional wrestlers. It's the only way. And then, so from there, I went and my mom was a flight attendant. She was handing in her resignation. She was like, you want me to hand in your resume? I was like, sure. I became a flight attendant for a bunch of years. And then in that...
hold on.
Hey, buddy, we're landing. Buckle up and put your fucking tray table up, all right? You don't want to piss me off, buddy. Show your nuts.
You were a flight attendant?
I was a flight attendant.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
For Spirit Airlines.
Man, I would have gone away with so much Jesus. More.
Bro, can you imagine an anti-masker on her flight? I don't think so.
And then in between, I did some mad stuff. Like I went off and did like practice Muay Thai in Thailand and taught English as a foreign language and just. While I was doing that. And then I left that and then I went back to college and then did my degree in acting. And I did that in Ireland in a college called the Dublin Institute of Technology and then went to Columbia College in Chicago. Then finished my degree in Ireland again. And then when I was done with that, I was trying to get work and I was handing out my resume left, right, and center, headshots, whatnot. Couldn't really get anything until they were filming The Vikings, you know, the TV show?
Oh, yeah.
So my resume landed on somebody's desk and they looked at it and I had all this physical experience, you know, scuba diving, random stuff that I'd picked up in the 7 years that I was gone. And of course, wrestling. And they said, oh, a stunt woman. So they handed it off to the stunt department. So I get a call from the stunt department of Ireland going, hey, Rebecca, you do stunts? And I'm like, yeah, I do stunts, that's what I do, They're like, oh, cool, well, we're doing the stunt driving course, do you want to come down, hang out, we'll see if we're a good match? So I go down, do the stunt driving course, was awful, I'm a terrible driver, but anyway, we hit it off, and they were like, well, do you want to do a stint on the Vikings? I was like, yes, I do. But I was like, I don't know what the hell I'm doing. Mm-hmm. So I was like, well, look, I was good at wrestling. I was real good at wrestling. Wrestled all over. We'll go back. I wrestled all over Japan, wrestled all over America, moved off at like 18, kind of 15, and was all over the world doing this thing until I gave up. And so I was like, well, maybe if I go back to wrestling school, take a few classes, and then I'll take what I know from that, apply it to stunts. Nobody will know that I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. Y'all are cursing, so now I feel like I can't.
Yeah,
do it.
Yeah, yeah. Hell,
it's great. It's great. Anyway, and so then I went down to this class, and the guy who was teaching the class, my friend Joe Cabray, he was like, "Oh man, you still got it. Would you ever think of doing a WWE tryout?" And I was like, "Nah, man. You know, that time has passed. I'm not wrestling anymore. I'm acting. I'm doing stunts." And and he was like, "Well, I think you should go for it, because I think you'd get it." And like with that, I was like, "That's it. I have to." Because in those 7 years, every time I journaled my whole life, I would just write about how, you know, I had unfinished business. There was things that I wanted to do. I wanted to main event WrestleMania, but look, my time's passed. I've got to move on. I just kind of treated it like a death almost, you know? Like it was something that I just had to grieve and move on from. And then when he said it, like, it felt like I was just being pulled, like, oh, this is what I was meant to do. This is my purpose. And all the steps along the way, even though at the time I didn't know what I was doing, I felt so lost. I was like, this is it. This is what I'm meant to do. And then I got to WWE, and I was awful. It was back to PE with Mrs. Corcoran. I was so in my own head. I couldn't put one foot in front of the other. And every day I was on the chopping block. Every day, I think they were like, this girl, I don't know what we're doing with her. And so... But here I am. I made it through. So that means that if I can make it through that and still come out and be the main event of WrestleMania, then I can get beat last night and come back better than ever.
Let's go.
Bring it all back.
Can I ask what age you were upon your return to wrestling?
Upon my return to wrestling, 25.
Great age.
But I'm just curious how you had chalked yourself up at such a young age.
As in, like...
Like, you thought it was over. You thought your wrestling career was over. Time has passed, but you're 25. You could still do anything at 25. You could do anything now. You could still do anything anytime.
50, 60.
That's true, right? But at the time, the actual cutoff for women that they were looking for was 25. They were looking for women from age 18 to 25.
Oh, it's like a Leonardo DiCaprio situation. 25 was kind of like the cutoff where they just...
so
18 to 25.
But at the time, right, like women's wrestling wasn't where it is right now. Right. Where we weren't seen on par with the men in terms of the stories we can tell and the matches that we can put on. It was still
a man's,
the Divas era and the women there were great, but you know, they had this expectation of the girls are just, you know, looks come first. And, you know, and even when I went for my tryout, they said, look, we like you. We think you're great. But we don't know what day you're going to show up on the desk. They might just be looking for models that day.
Got it. Mm.
And so I ain't no model. So I was like, but everything that had happened, it's like, this has to happen. There's no other way. I'm getting this. And I got it. And here we are sitting here in Dallas.
Now that's okay. I see how you got here now in Dallas.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Book writing.
Yes.
We're talking.
Yep.
Have to. It's an exciting process. I'll hook you up with some people. It's a ton of fun. You're a writer yourself, so you're already writing.
I'm already writing. I've got like a draft. I actually started taking a writing class. Nice. just so that I can make sure that it's the best it can be.
I think it's so cool that you journal.
Oh, I love it, man. I feel like it's my counseling. You know, it's my therapist.
Yeah.
Very cathartic.
Handwritten?
Yes. Yeah.
No way.
Wow. Yeah.
Old school journal.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. I feel like pen and paper. That's the best way to do
the
it.
The lost art of pen and paper. I do.
You do? Pen and paper. Oh, you do it on a...
Do you know why? My thoughts come out of my head way too quick for my hand to keep up.
He's lying. He doesn't know how to write. He never learns.
I don't know how to spell.
He can only use this thing right here. That's it. Hey, that's well.
Awesome. Dude, you're awesome. You're so cool. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you guys for having me. This was a pleasure. I appreciate it. And well done last night, man.
Thank you.
That was... It's not an easy thing we do, and I don't think people realize how hard it is. And then when you see somebody that comes in like you and is able to apply what we do and the storytelling and the moves and everything, it's so impressive, especially for somebody like me who nothing ever came easy. Like, no, I was not a natural at anything, and then when I see somebody who's a natural, I'm like, wow.
Dang.
That's fucking unreal. Fair play.
You're so nice.
And then I get a little jealous.
Fuck that guy.
God. Took me 20 years to get here.
You're awesome.
Thank you so much, Becky.
Another potato stolen from me.
Well, thanks for coming on Impulsive.
Oh, my pleasure.
God dang.
Thank you for having me.
We love you, Becky.
Oh, I love you guys.
Heck yeah.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pile-ups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.